take him at his word indeed. Christ died to save me, this I read. And in my heart I find a need. I feel to be my Savior, that he would leave this place on high and come for sinful men to die. You count his strength, so what's it like? Before I knew my Savior lives, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, he was, my God, he is, my God is holy.
Welcome into Going to Play Through This Verse. Turn to your neighbor and say, good to see you today.
Hold me up. See you guys here this morning. We're going to have a good day. It's always good in God's house. We've already had a good Sunday school hour. Appreciate you being here. We want to welcome our visitors. I saw some brand new faces a few moments ago. I'm not sure where they are located, but we welcome you. We appreciate you coming to Bible Baptist, and one of our ushers will probably come by and give you a visitor's packet, and if you just fill out the card in that packet, we would appreciate that. Drop it in the pew where you are, or just drop it in a plate on your way out. And we're grateful that you chose Bible Baptist this morning. Let me just mention a couple of people for prayer, a couple of families for prayer. Continue to pray for Verlet Kitchens family. Verlet passed this last week. And then also pray for Prune Gravel's family. Prune passed away the night before last. And so these are two church members that will be doing some services for in the future. It's going to be memorial services, so they're set off, going to be set off maybe even a couple of weeks. So some of you'll be wondering about that. I'll bring that information going forward. And then also wish to pray for Stephanie Velasquez. This is her and Gilbert sit right over here. They've been gone the last few weeks because her father has cancer and he's experiencing kidney failure and going downhill like that, and they're spending a lot of time with him. I told Gilbert that I would be sure and let you guys know to be praying for Stephanie and her family, okay? Anyway, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll get right back to our good singing. So thankful that you're here today. Joe Cook, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Amen. Think you may be seated. In the late 70s, it's hard for me to believe, but I was just in high school in the late 70s. And there was a song that was written by a guy by the name of Andre Crouch, and it was entitled My Tribute, and it was one of my favorite songs when I was in high school. And so we're going to sing that as a choir special this morning. It's kind of got a retro vibe to it, so if you were around in the 70s and the 80s, it might be familiar, this little vibe that we have, all right?
Oh, can I say?
grateful that you went to the cross, and on the cross you paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world. And God, I'm so grateful that you convicted me of my sins when I was just a teenager. And I'll never forget walking the aisle and asking you to come into my heart and save me. I've never been the same since that day. And there are many people all over this auditorium who can remember the day that they asked you to come into their heart and save them. And their testimony would be, oh, what a glorious day. And God, our desire is, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, God, I pray that today would be that day. That they could have their sins forgiven. That they could be adopted into the family of God. God, we're grateful for our pastor. In just a few moments, he's going to come and preach the message that you've laid upon his heart just for us today. God, I pray that you'd speak through him into our hearts. God, I pray that you'd do a work that only you can do in our service today. God, we love you. Sure do thank you for all that you've done for us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and marvelous He, how great. How great is our God. The splendor of the King is golden majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. The great is our God. See you.
Seated, and let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer once again.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for this day that we have, Lord, to come into your house. Lord, a day of spiritual maintenance, so to speak, that you've given us, Lord, where we can worship you and learn of you, and then we can be with our families, we can get some rest. Father, it's just a special day every time, Lord, we call it Sunday. Lord, more special than any other day of the week. And Father, we just ask that you'll bless your people for their faithfulness to come to the house of God this morning. And Lord, for those that are unable to be here, perhaps people watching live stream or watching at a later time on the internet, we just pray that you'll bless and speak to their hearts just as well. Thank you for the young people that are being taught in the back. And Lord, we ask that over the next few moments, your Holy Spirit would just have his way. Holy Spirit, that you would not only anoint me to communicate the word of God, but that you would take the word of God and make it land on fertile hearts. Lord, hearts that are receptive to what you have to say. And Father, we ask you to bless our country and bless we think about, Lord, the drought that we're in and we're in need of rain. Lord, we thank you about the turbulence that's all across the world. We need peace. Father, there are just so many things that we could ask you for, but we're asking, Father, today that you'll just help us to live day by day in the immediate, Lord. Help us to live day by day in your will. Lord, we can't fix all this stuff. Collectively, all of us together couldn't even begin to be smart enough to reconcile all these things that we're dealing with and facing, but Lord, we know who can. You can. So we look to you for strength. We look to you for guidance. And Lord, I pray for you to bless these families that have been mentioned, the Kitchen family and the Prunes family, Gravel family, Lord, and their loss of their loved one, Annie St. Pierre's family, Lord, as they lost her father. And Father, I pray that you'll bless them and encourage them during these difficult times. Please protect Misha over in the Ukraine, Lord, as she travels between there and Poland. Lord, keep her safe and bring her home to us safely. Father, time won't allow more prayer, but we certainly appreciate you hearing us. Appreciate you being the kind of Father that you are, that, Lord, that you have open ears to your children. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, for five Sundays, we have talked about choices. Today will be our sixth Lord's Day on this particular subject. And we're identifying key choices in our lives, choices and decisions that make a major impact upon who we are and who we become. We make dozens of choices every day. Most of them are fairly insignificant. Most of them won't affect us for very long. It's more in the immediate. Most of them have negligible results. They don't greatly impact our life. But there are other choices, like whether to forgive or not forgive, or whether to love or not love, or our choices whether we're going to be givers or takers, or the choice of our words that we talked about last week. Those choices will essentially define our lives. Those choices will determine the quality of our future. So today, I want to add to our list of monumental choices, and I want to discuss with you about choosing humility. Choosing humility. What is humility? Humility is the act of being humble, okay? Humility in the dictionary, it says this, a low view of one's own importance. Now, this is not to say that we should have some sort of unhealthy self-loathing that makes us have such low self-esteem that we don't feel like we have any self-worth. That's not healthy, and that's not good, and that's not what God would want for us. It's more the realization that we don't have any greater importance than anyone else. Here's a great quote. Now, this quote has been attributed to two different people, C.S. Lewis and another fellow. I don't remember his name. I don't know which one said it, but it's a great quote, said this, humility does not mean that you think less of yourself. It just means that you think of yourself less. And that's a very, very good statement. So choosing to operate with humility is in a very great way choosing to put other people before ourselves, and foremostly to put God before ourselves. Humility and being humble are one and the same, okay? They're very exchangeable when you find those two words in the scripture. And it's our choice, whatever our choice is, whether we're going to be humble or not, that's going to produce what kind of results that we get. You and I can operate with pride and arrogance without, in which case we're going to experience certain outcomes that are undesirable, or we can decide to walk humbly before God and we can walk humbly before men, and then we can experience certain results that are far more desirable and positive and rewarding to our lives. So let's read our text. It's just one verse, a very good verse in chapter 23 of Matthew, and verse 12 says this. The words are in red. Jesus is speaking. He says, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. You want to notice the phrasing of that verse that makes it really clear that we determine which route we're going to take, either exalting ourselves or humbling ourselves. Exalting means to elevate ourselves, and humbling means to lower ourselves. So let's look at it this way. If importance was rated on a scale from 1 to 10, and we went around trying to present ourselves in such a way that everyone would think we were a 10, then we would be exalting ourselves, lifting ourselves high, trying to present ourselves in such a way that we would be esteemed more important than others, okay? On the other hand, if we went around not giving any thought whatsoever to how other people felt about our importance, then we would be humbling ourselves. We would be walking in humility. Well, we don't have to be important. We don't have to make sure other people consider us important and this sort of thing. So let's think about the results of those two different attitudes, either exalting ourselves, lifting ourselves up, or humbling ourselves, allowing ourselves to be low. They're going to have two different results. And we're going to look at this from two standpoints. One, look at it as if we're not children of God. Those who are not saved and don't belong to God, that just function really in the natural realm. Or those who are children of God, which I hope you are this morning, born-again believers whose life is caught up in God in the supernatural realm. And the results are greatly different between the two groups, okay? For a person who is not saved, their attempts to elevate themselves can become very successful. They may have the achievements, they may have the accomplishments and that would draw the admiration of people all around them, and they may promote themselves in such a way that people begin to think that they're the greatest, okay? But that's all happening in the natural realm, okay? That's on this level where only humans are involved, okay? Because they don't belong to the Father. So, because they don't belong to the Father doesn't interfere in their lives and correct them in their attempts to exalt themselves. You see what I'm saying? And God does not esteem them to be any more than just a lost person that's in need of his forgiveness, okay? He doesn't esteem them as his child. He esteems them as a sinner that needs to be forgiven, okay? But if the person that's trying to exalt themselves, the person that's trying to lift themselves up in the eyes of everybody else, the person who's trying to be a 10 in importance, if that person belongs to God, that'd be you and I, okay? That belongs to God, we're saved, we're his children. Well, if we are trying to elevate ourselves and be something greatly important, God is going to intervene because we're his child. We can expect the intervention of God the Father and working in our life and bringing us to the realization that there's only one that deserves exaltation, and that's him. He will teach us that. God has a way to cut us down to size, and he will do it. Why? Because he loves us, and he's not willing to let us live in rebellion to him. And a life of pride is a life of rebellion. There's no way around it. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says this, let he that thinketh he stand take heed lest he should fall. You know, God is giving a warning there to, as children of God, a warning to us that when we begin to think that we're tall and that we're standing high and we can't be brought down, that's when we're in the greatest danger, because we're probably going to get cut down to size. Because that attitude in the eyes of God is totally unacceptable. Therefore, he's going to step in and he's going to allow us to be brought, knocked off our high horse, so to speak. And he's going to put us, because we're trying to lift ourselves up and that's not acceptable to him, he's going to put us in a position that's not so flattering in the eyes of men. In other words, he'll bring us, if necessary, if we don't correct ourselves quickly, he will bring us to the point that we're in a great humble state before men. Forced to be in that humble state, okay? Let me give you two Old Testament cases in point, okay? Two different kings that made two different, totally different choices and got two totally different results, okay? One was a king by the name of Uzziah, and I'm not going to ask you to turn to these texts. The key verses, I'll have them put on the screen. But one was a king by the name of Uzziah, and this is found over in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Now remember, our text for today says, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, okay, shall be brought low. In other words, he that tries to lift himself up will be brought down by God, okay? Keep that in mind as we talk about Uzziah. Uzziah was one of the kings of Judah that fell into a very select list that's in the Bible. And it was a list of kings that the scripture says did with that which was right in the eyes of God. In other words, God made note of some particular kings of Judah that said he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. That's a pretty good compliment coming from God in his word, okay? Well, that's what the compliment that Uzziah gets in the word of God. And he was a king that sought the Lord, the scripture says. He was a humble and he was a faithful servant of the Lord. And so what happened? Because he was walking humbly before God as a king and doing things right, God lifted him up in the sense that God let him do very well in life. God let him have great success. Scripture says that God gave him great understanding. That means he was a wise fellow. Scripture says that God made him to prosper, and so he was doing well financially. The scripture says that he built great cities and that God helped him defeat all of his enemies, and the neighboring nations began to bring gifts to him, which just accelerated his financial standing, okay? All of these things, and the Bible says that his name spread abroad. In other words, he became fairly famous, recognizable name throughout the world. And the Bible says that he brought Judah into a very prosperous economy. Don't you long for those days, guys, to be brought into a prosperous economy? So, really, his kingly approval rating was high amongst the people. His people thought so much of him. All of this is all in his favor that God had given him because he was walking humbly before God. The scripture says that he had a host of fighting men, a mighty military that exceeded 300,000 soldiers. The scripture describes his military capabilities as unequaled. His equipment was state of the art. I want you to notice a verse in 2 Chronicles 26:15. I want you to notice the first part of this voice. And he made in Jerusalem engines. In other words, mechanical devices invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. In other words, he was on the cutting edge of military weapons at that time. The Bible makes note of it. He was inventing things that hadn't been invented before to protect his people. And so that was these are all the things that God allowed to be accomplished in his life because he was a humble, obedient king. Okay. And his fame was far and wide. Notice that. It says that. And for he was, and his name spread far abroad. He was well known for how great he was. He was well known for how successful and prosperous and a mighty king of a mighty nation he was. And why was that? Why did it all happen? Scripture says because he was marvelously helped. The last part of that verse. Now the implication there in that marvelously helped is that he had great military strength and military support, but he was also marvelously helped by God. The Lord had exalted him. Why had the Lord exalted him? Because his heart had been right before God and he had sought the Lord, and so God was allowing him to reach his full potential. It was all going so well for Uzziah. But notice the end of that verse, till he was strong. God had made him so strong. And then you better watch out, folks. Uzziah should have watched out, and you and I should watch out when we're prospering and we're doing well, because the first thing you know, we'll begin to think we did it ourselves. And we'll begin to think how important I am. Look at all the things that are being done under my leadership. Look at all the things that are being accomplished. So let's move on to verse 16, Roy. It says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. Remember that word exalted, to lift up, to elevate yourself? His heart was lifted up to his destruction. Remember the warning of our text? Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. Whoever lifts himself up shall be brought low by God, okay? Uzziah had a choice. He could have continued on the path of blessing. He could have continued on with his prosperity by being humble, or he could blow it. How could he blow it? By exalting himself, by trying to lift himself up in the eyes of man. And folks, it's all right if God lifts us up, okay? He'll do that. He blesses his children. But it's not all right for us to lift ourselves up. And so his heart, the scripture says, was lifted up to his destruction. It all starts right here in the heart. It all starts on our interior when we begin to think of ourselves greater than we actually are. And then it will not be long before we begin to act in ways that express to everyone how great we are. So how did it play out in Uzziah's life? We're not going to read all the scriptures. But in those days, the sacrificial system was very much in place. And the priest, and the priest only, were responsible for going into the temple and burning incense upon the altar of the Lord. God had given the priest their very important position in serving him, okay? But Uzziah had become so full of himself, he began to think so highly of himself that he believed that he ought to be able to do what the priest did. After all,
I'm such a successful king. I have such a great reputation. I've accomplished so many things. Then why? What would be wrong with me burning incense at the altar? These guys get to do it. They're not any more important than me. Remember, God is the one that designates who's important and who's not. God's the one that made the priest important in offering that incense at the altar. And God's the one that made him as a king important as a leader in all of this. But that wasn't enough for Uzziah. So he set out to go in the temple and to offer incense upon the altar, which was forbidden. And the priest opposed him. And they begin to advise him. There's 81 of them, the scripture says. 81 priests begin to advise him that this is wrong. You can't do this. This is going to cost you. But what did Uzziah do? He got angry at them. And he proceeded to do it anyway. And folks, when you get intoxicated with pride, you don't take advice very well. I can tell you that because I've been that way. When you get prideful, you don't take advice very well. Why? Because you think you're the smartest guy in the room. You think you already know everything. And so he didn't listen to them. He got angry at them. And he had the censer in his hand. And he went to offer the burnt incense. And scripture says that suddenly he broke out with leprosy. What happened? He chose to exalt himself. And God chose to abase him. Let somebody think that it was a coincidence that he broke out with leprosy. The Bible says specifically in verse 20 of that chapter, the Lord had smitten him. The Lord had smitten him. So I said, well, no, he just got leprosy. No, he got leprosy because the Lord made him catch leprosy. And he remained a leper for the rest of his life. Forced not only to not be able to go in the temple, but to live in absolute quarantine and isolation for the remainder of his days. What a sad display of exactly what we're talking about in our text here. He that exalteth himself shall be abased. Now, was Uzziah an evil king? No, he was a really good king. He started out right. He was a child of God. But he chose wrongly down the road. It can happen to any one of us, folks. But it doesn't have to happen to us. We have a choice. We can choose humility. Our text in verse 12 of Matthew 23 says, And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. In other words, that one that will conduct himself as if he were low and unimportant, then God says, I'll elevate you. I'll prosper you and bless you in the eyes of men. Okay? So let me tell you about this other king. His name was Josiah, and he also was listed in that special list of kings that did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And at the time he was a king of Judah, that nation had fallen into deep idolatry. Wickedness and idolatry had permeated or penetrated, if you will, most of Jewish society. To no fault of Josiah's, because Josiah had inherited the throne from his wicked father, Amon, at the age of 8, if you can believe that. At the age of 8 years old, he got this kingdom. So you might say he just didn't know any better. He was just a kid. But as he began to grow up in age, at the age of 24, he began to inquire of the Lord, the Bible says. He saw the importance of seeking God. In his limited knowledge, he had enough sense to know that, hey, I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I know someone who can give me some answers, and that's God. And he began to seek God. And when you search for God, folks, he's not far off. You can find him, I promise you. When you search for him, he's there. So long story short, he sought God, and through a series of events, God made himself known to Josiah. He revealed himself and his word to Josiah, the young king. And he told Josiah through the word of God that because his nation was steeped in wickedness and that they were caught up in all this debauchery and idolatry, that he was going to bring judgment on Judah, okay?
God revealed that devastation and suffering would be experienced by all the people of Judah in the days ahead because of their hard hearts and their idolatrous ways. And what did Josiah do when he heard this? He was broken. The Bible says he rent his clothes. He was just brought low before God with brokenness and heartache that this was going to happen. And he wept before God. He wept tears of repentance. And so the result of that humble heart that he expressed to God was that God told him, said, though God was still going to judge, he was still going to bring his wrath against Judah, he was not going to do it in Josiah's lifetime. I'm not going to make you experience the heartache and the humility of leading a nation that falls apart. We could easily say that God allowed Josiah in his humility to be exalted, to continue to the day of his death as a king of a prosperous nation with a good reputation. In fact, to go into history as one of the greatest kings of Judah. Now, let me tell you what happened after his death. After his death, he didn't have to face this. He didn't see this. God spared him of this. But after his death, the king of Egypt began to extort money from Judah. Gold and silver specifically, it says. And so they begin to have to pay hush money or protection money to Egypt, okay? That created a great tax burden on all of the people. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he put them under tribute. And so it was that much more oppression. And the Bible says that they begin to be attacked by the Chaldeans, the Syrians, the Moabites, and the Ammonites. So you got four different nations coming in attack of them all at once. And the Bible says that they were out to and were destroying Judah. In other words, things are going to hell in a handbasket, folks. Quick. Like God said it would. God said it would happen because of their sin and their rebellion and their idolatry. But he also said, Josiah, you personally will get to live the rest of your life in peace before all of this stuff happens. Understand this fact. Had he lived as the king of Judah, had he lived to see all of these things, it would have been complete humiliation. When you're the king of a nation and the nation goes to pieces, and is destroyed and is paying tribute to neighboring nations just to keep from beating them up. That's humiliating. Humiliating. But God says, you're not going to have to endure that. He went to his grave in peace. Now let me show you why. And then I'm done. 2 Kings 22 verse 19 says this. Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord. Let's skip over to verse 20 now, Roy. Valerie. Behold, therefore I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into the grave in peace. Watch this. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. There you have it, our text in action. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. What about you this morning? I have to admit, and Brother David, you guys can come, I have experienced both ways. I've been in Uzziah's shoes where I lifted myself up and I tried to be something I was not, and God had to bring me low. And then I've been in a position of Josiah, not near the level of humility as himself, but I've been in a position where God spared me a lot of humiliation because I was following him. And I'm sure you've experienced it both. We all, as his children, are prone to pride, prone to arrogance, and prone to falls because of that. But here's what I want you to leave here with. We have a choice. Just like we have a choice to forgive, we have a choice to love, we have a choice to give, we have a choice of our words, we have a choice. whether to walk humbly before God and man. And our choice will produce particular and certain results. I'm going to ask you to stand. Maybe you're here and God's spoken to you about something else. You want to do business at the altar just between you and God. It's a really good thing to bow yourself humbly. See, the bowing of the body is an expression of humility as it is, okay? To bow yourself humbly before God in prayer. Whatever it may be that you need to deal with at the altar, please come if God's spoken to you.